The Bruins three-card Monty'd us.
Oh, man.
No pun intended. It was supposed to be 11:30 for Don Sweeney. Then we were told, well, afternoon, Don Sweeney at the podium right now discussing firing Jim Montgomery yesterday.
Thanks for everybody for being here. You know, the obvious reaction for me is disappointment in the decision I had to make yesterday in making the coaching change. I have nothing but respect and utmost appreciation for Jim Montgomery as a hockey coach. As a person, the infusion of positive reinforcement that Monty brought to the organization from day one, resonated. A historic season, fell short of a goal. Went back to work the next year with significant change, and he's going to be a good NHL coach. He is a good NHL coach, and I wish him well. His family was a big part of.
Pretty much second guessing from management's part about the situation with Monty going into the year in the last year of his deal, just given kind of the pressure that is obvious and inherent when a coach enters that kind of situation.
No, not from the second guessing. As I said, I was in extension talks. There was contract offers. So, I feel very comfortable. The person makes it no different than a player making an individual decision. You know, we've got players that did that as well this summer. So, there's two sides to every negotiation, and they have to make their own decisions accordingly. And we react as a result of that. Doesn't mean that it doesn't come to fruition at some point in time, because you're very open. It's not like we shut things down. But at the end of the day, performance is part of this.
You said that if there's not improvement, it's on you to make.
Okay, enough of that. I finally somebody asked about
circle back to that thing.
The lame duck Monty contract offer from Sweeney. Thank God that was Don Sweeney talking. I guess after Bruins practice about firing Jim Montgomery, which you heard here first yesterday on Jones and Keith. Keith, I can recap some of what he said, but what jumped up there? I don't know if you want to pick up with the last thing he said.
Yeah, probably that last thing. And so I think they're going back to the before the year began, where so much of the talk was about Jeremy Swayman's contract. But in there, too, and every once in a while you get like a little detail here or there about, well, Montgomery also in contract talks. Remember? And they would sort of gloss over, like, yeah, we're trying to get both of these done. And then they never did. So clearly, like, how much did you like him? And like, how serious were those conversations if 20 games into the year, you're going to fire him anyway? 20 games into the year, if things weren't going great, he was going to be your scapegoat. So can you imagine if he agreed to a deal and you just signed him to a three-year extension? Then what? Would you have kept him after this?
So that last thing, he said no regrets about the lame duck status. And there was a contract. There were contract talks. I think he said there was an offer. Didn't he just say that? Isn't that the word he just used? There was an offer? That's what I wrote down.
Yeah.
He said there's two sides to every negotiation. You have to do, or they have to do what's right for them. So the implication is they gave him an offer and Montgomery said no. That's what we're supposed to believe?
Well, yeah, I think so.
Does anyone believe that?
No.
In their right minds believes that? They offered Montgomery a contract. He's like, no.
Not good. He was holding out for Swayman money.
Yeah, I mean, or was it just such an insulting offer that it wasn't in good faith?
NHL, well, maybe. But
this is what our guy Greg Wyshynski thinks, Keith. He says, I'm sorry, I don't buy that extension talks were ever in good faith. He was a lame duck coach by design.
Yeah.
That's built-in job security for Sweeney and Neely, number one. So it was one of two things. Either we're supposed to take them at face value. Montgomery thought too highly of himself, said, I'm a Jack Adams winner. I had the best year ever in Bruins history. I know I almost got fired if we lost to the Leafs last round.
Oh, he was out.
But no, I'm going to negotiate like I have leverage.
Don't we're you sign to almost anything that's
yes,
offered
of
if
course.
You're Montgomery? Because you know you're probably not going to see that whole contract out. So you might as well.
So you're either supposed to believe that or the Bruins just never really even came. Like it was an insultingly low offer or is another year-to-year offer or something. But no, I don't believe that for a second.
No, I don't believe that. Also,
who believes that?
I thought what was interesting is he kind of threw in the detail while talking about Montgomery that there were a few other players
in the same boat.
In the same boat, yeah. Meaning they negotiated, and again, it could have been very one-sided. It could have been, hey, here's a very team-friendly deal for you, and rather than going into your last year, your free agent year, why don't you sign this really low-end deal? We were talking about a guy like Trent Frederick earlier in the show, who one of the guys that has been on the team for a few years, outside of Marchand, one of the guys that has or is a free agent at the end of the year, and maybe they offered him something. Maybe he thought he deserved a little bit more, and they're like, all right, screw you, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you saw what happened with Montgomery 20 games in. But if they're also looking to shake up the roster a little bit, maybe some of these guys that they had a hard time negotiating with could also find their way out the door.
Yeah, it was good. Watching the Twitch chat live during that press conference is great. Twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Always a healthy conversation going on there. People are like, I want to smash my keyboards listening to this guy.
Yeah.
Like, he drives people nuts.
Yeah, they don't
like
him.
And, like, who can take that at face value?
Approval rating low.
So let me recap a few. No, he's now on the hot seat. The players, him, Neely, they're all in the hot seat now that Montgomery's gone. Like, the pressure ratcheted up on a guy like Jeremy Swayman, who hasn't played well. He's gotten criticized, but he's mostly skated for how bad he's been. That's about to get ratcheted up. Same for this guy, okay? I'm okay with him keeping his job, for now. Let's see where it goes. But let me just recap some of Sweeney, who I believe is still talking. We ditched out because no one was asking about Montgomery. They were asking about everything but Montgomery at that press conference.
Yeah.
He said the team didn't meet expectations, and they had to change course. He said there were extension talks, which he finally was asked about again, and they couldn't find the deal. He puts that on Montgomery, by the way. He says it rests with me now, which I thought was interesting. It's like, oh, I recognize that we don't make the playoffs. I might get fired.
100% he'd be the next guy.
Okay, so he said that. It rests with me now. Yeah, that was a direct quote. He also said continued changes, Keefe, which again, this isn't a scoop, but it's not a scoop.
I would say it's not a scoop.
What were you hearing again?
I would hear that they're not going to wait around to the March 7th trade deadline to shake up the roster.
Okay.
I don't think
so. They're not done with just Montgomery.
Correct. There it is.
Now you could go not a scoop.
You could go a couple different directions with that, which I don't know. Like, do you really look to add, and are you once again playing the Don Sweeney game where you're like, hey, we're going to trade draft picks to bring in good players, or are you trading away good players, which they really only have a handful of, like good to great players, or are you just trying to change the mix a little bit? And, you know, and I'm not talking about just like fourth line guys. Like, is there some other player or two that gets regular ice time that you feel like, all right, we can maybe move on from? So I feel like Trent Frederick is who I like, you like.
But they're not done. That's the key takeaway. Yeah. They're not done.
Feels like they want to make some more moves.
I like Frederick as well, but could they make a move to change the makeup of the dressing room or just make a trade for a player they know they're probably going to lose because there's interest in eventually? I'd say that's likely. I don't think they're blowing it up would be my point. I think if anything, they're going to look to add because, as Sweeney said, it rests with him now. So he said there are continued changes. He like hinted at that, which is interesting. Mm-hmm. What could those be?
Yes.
He also referenced the expected scoring. He said they have to score. He said even the other night against Columbus, there are goals that we should have had. So I think their advanced metrics, whether you believe in these or not, I think he does. And he's saying we should be better than we are. Some of that's going to normalize, and maybe getting rid of Montgomery will help.
Yeah, he pointed out how like 10 guys on the team are below their average.
That's
which is true.
Weaselly, but I agree.
It's true.
Guys are obviously underperforming. Why are they underperforming? I don't have a good reason.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's the coach. We'll find out. But they're obviously underperforming. That's fair. He called the goaltending up and down. I thought that was nice.
A lot of down.
And said this is not the standard for the team.
Good amount of down.
He was asked directly about any regrets already about Lindholm and Zadorov. That was quick.
No regrets,
he said.
No, he's all right with these guys. But he did admit like both are not living up to expectations. Well, he's not.
I just find it noteworthy. Noteworthy guys on the beat are like, yeah, you regret that big deal you signed there, Donnie?
Like already. I don't know. He's like, it's all the same guys from last year. And they're like, what about these two? And he's like, well.
So I think that was a good question. I'm just surprised he got asked it.
Yep.
And then he did acknowledge that some of the off-ice stuff, rather, could be an issue. He said everything's an issue. So that's a tacit acknowledgement. Maybe there's something going on off the ice with the team. We'll recap more of this. What kind of changes should happen? The changes that Don Sweeney hinted at. Does it rest with Don Sweeney now? Is all the pressure on him or are other people facing more pressure? And, of course, do you believe Don Sweeney when he says that they offered Jim Montgomery a contract extension and it's up to Montgomery? He made it sound like Montgomery turned him down. And it's Montgomery's fault almost that he turned him down and now he's fired and what could we have done? You buying that? 617-779-7937. We'll get to that right after trending with Billy Lanny. Don Sweeney, earlier this hour, heard it here on Jones and Keefe on WEEI. It's probably the juiciest portion of the press conference there. Oh, you offered him a contract extension, did you?
Is that right?
And Monty.
Yeah, I mean, he made his own decision.
Probably would have been fired had they lost to Toronto. You agree with that, right?
Yeah,
they don't win. They don't win Game 7 against Toronto. So the guy was almost fired.
I mean, of course, he got off to a bad start this year and he got fired.
Right.
So, yeah, I would say that's pretty much confirms that.
So the idea is that he turned down an extension and Sweeney's putting it on him. Which
I'm sure he wanted to.
You sure about that? Yeah.
I don't buy, and I agree with Greg Wyshynski, good friend of the show.
That's right.
As it turns out, he's one of the few to credit. #ScoopsKeefe. We're still waiting for the local Bruins media to do that. but a few of the national guys
that
did.
That could happen soon-ish.
Wyshynski,
yeah.
Cirovelli. Yeah, I would expect a credit for that soon-ish.
Ish
yeah. is when I would expect that, if ever. And so, you know, I think it was self-preservation. You bring back Montgomery, and it buys Sweeney and Neely some time.
Yeah.
Now that Montgomery's out, who do we look to if the Bruins continue to underachieve? As Sweeney said, it's on me. That's what he said earlier today. His exact wording was, it rests with me now. So, and he also hinted at more potential changes to come. He's like, more changes will come. That could be in reference to his job. That could be in reference to roster players. I think he said the right thing, but I don't disagree with the text line. 37937. Sweeney is calling the team out. It's true. He's calling the team out. We're underachieving. We've been unlucky, however he wants to say it.
Oh, yeah. He pointed back to training camp.
We need to get more out of the roster. He pointed back to training camp. So he's saying, it rests with me now. But he is looking at the players going, what the hell's wrong with you? And this is where I do blame Sweeney. What's wrong with them is you brought back a lame duck coach. And they didn't want to listen to him because they didn't have to listen to him because they knew his time was limited and that his days were numbered.
Yeah, and maybe Lindholm and Zadorov are worse than we thought. I mean, Zadorov, you and I were just like, okay, he's a big guy. We'll see what happens. And he's stunk. And then Lindholm, I thought, was a good signing. And he has played poorly. And to Sweeney's point, I mean, most of the team is underperforming, like across the board, not even compared to their career highs, compared to their average seasons. They're like way below. So that is obviously troubling. And now you swap the coach, and how long do you have there? Like, I don't think Sweeney's going to lose his job in season, but to your point, if they miss the playoffs, yeah, he's probably gone.
Mm-hmm.
They need to make the playoffs. Isn't that always the thing with the Bruins?
Yeah.
There was this, you know, the Jacobs desperately want a playoff team. Maybe they don't care as much as the fans do about a cup-winning team, but they want a playoff team. So that's when the eyebrow gets raised. You know, Peter Chiarelli, who had all his faults, but also was a part of a cup-winning team, eventually was gone. You know, they missed the playoffs. You got to go. Claude Julien won a cup, but I got to a point where you got to go. You know, Montgomery and Sweeney haven't won a cup. You know, Sweeney's gotten there, but in this role, he hasn't won it.
I mean, look, the Jacobs family doesn't care about winning the cup. They care about, as you said, playoff gates and making the postseason and hopefully winning a round or two.
So you'll get their attention if you miss the playoffs.
100%.
And this team is teetering on it.
That's why 2 weeks ago, Keith, you said he was on the hot seat.
Yep.
And now he's fired, he being Montgomery.
Right.
And you're right. If they miss the playoffs, and they especially because they spent money like crazy, Swayman extension, Lindholm and that bum-ass Zadorov in free agency, because they spent like crazy, Sweeney will lose his job if they don't make the playoffs. Jacobs is like, I spent all this money for this?
You're right.
Hell with that. You're out.
So if you're Sweeney, what else can you do at this point, right? You can complain about the drafts all you want, but there's not a draft in November and December. So right now, with Don Sweeney, you already made one move that you could make. That's fire the coach. The coach, when he was here, was constantly changing lines and doing everything else, right? Like, he was grasping at straws. Even Montgomery, to his credit, by the end, sat Pastrnak for a period, shoved Brad Marchand, let Jeremy Swayman wear just two bad games and be like, he went down swinging, but he went down.
Yeah.
And if you're Sweeney, what else can you do? You have you fire your coach. You have the press conference where you kind of bury the players. After a few games here, if things aren't getting a lot better, just like with the coach, like this hope that he kind of like gets some positive energy into this team and they turn it around, don't you have to start to tweak the roster? Like, if you're Sweeney, that's like the one thing you can do.
So my answer is yes, and you're talking trades. Let's get to that in a moment.
Yeah,
I thought you had a good idea. I personally wouldn't do it, but I understand the logic. You had a good idea about how to get Swayman right earlier in the show.
Because
now that Montgomery's gone,
right.
I think Swayman's gotten criticism and he's gotten critiqued and blowback from the fan base, but it's about to ratchet up. You give up 5 goals in your first game without Montgomery, people are going to really start looking at you and stop focusing on when you fire the coach. You're going to be the headline story.
Mm-hmm.
So they got to get Swayman right. And I would say that's probably the main thing. You got to get scoring again, and you got to get your top 6 fixed, and you can't be getting blown out every night.
Right.
But you got to get Swayman right. You had a good idea, I think, on a potential change there.
I think you might just have to try this because it's been so bad to start, is maybe he doesn't play as often as he does. He's on pace to play 57 games.
So another way of saying that would be lean in on Corpy a little bit.
Which terrifies me, but he's played better.
More Corpy. You're a Corpy guy now.
I am now apparently a Corpy guy.
You're now a Corpy guy.
Or I'm just less and less a Swayman guy.
I
was a Swayman guy, now I'm not a Swayman guy. So last year, Swayman started 43 games. He played a total of 44, but he started 43 games. So it was, you know, right around an even split with Omark. And you know, it ran into some issues and everything come playoff time. But in the last couple of regular seasons, he was great going every other game. He and Allmark would split. They would hug. They would have a shutout, and they'd move on. The team was a wagon for two straight years. Now that it's kind of on him, and maybe he puts more pressure on himself because he's making the big money now, and is one of the main reasons. Like, Sweeney basically, I think, also wanted to blame Swayman for this. He didn't go full on that. He kind of blamed everybody.
Well, they were all pissed at him, and we knew that. They were all pissed at
him. Like, why was training camp so bad? Like, I think it's pretty obvious. Like, your goalie held out to the very end of camp, and your coach went in without a new contract. So, like, it's very squarely those two things.
But who do you blame for that? Like, I still blame the team for that. Like, just pay him. Everybody else got $8.25 million. You were going to give him the money. He had all the leverage. Pay him, and he would have been there for training camp. You didn't pay him.
I feel like if the offer of $8.25 was there sooner, you could have had all of this
Thank
out
you.
Of the way.
Me too. Yeah. Yeah. You eventually paid him. You eventually caved. You should have paid
this
him.
This is on them, but
you
this is also
paid
him
earlier.
Pointing the finger once again there. Yeah. No, but circling back to on the ice.
I just remain with Swayman. I just want to Swayman has not played well, but yeah. I remain with Swayman on that. If you're blaming him for not being out there for training camp, and that was the problem.
That was his time to get his money.
Pay him, and he would have been there.
That was his time to do it, and he got his money. But I wouldn't mind now and next month, say now till Christmas, maybe close to every other, and see if Swayman gets some of his confidence back, see if he can play better, and then from there maybe you give him, three games to every one or however it ends up working out.
So I agree. Getting him right is a key. Are they closer, Keith, to buying or selling? Maybe they could try to middle it with like a hockey trade in a more mid-roster player. I know you've referenced Frederick as a potential name. But are they closer to buying or selling? Like, I have a hard time believing they're going to blow this up.
I don't think they're going to blow it up. Now, they're currently just outside the playoffs, right? Like, they're not a playoff team as of right now. They have the same number of points as the Islanders, but they've played one more game. So
Islanders have a game out of hand.
Out of hand. They have a game in hand.
Yeah.
So they – but I just think because their core is locked up long-term, like, if you have Pastrnak, McAvoy, Swayman, so, like, a player at every level – and they're good, or at least they should be really good players, and you have them long-term, I don't see really trading away from that. And besides those three guys, maybe Marchand, a little bit different story, older players, played his whole career here, isn't a contract year. You're not really getting a whole lot for everybody else. Like, everybody else would be more of a culture change or a chemistry change, that kind of thing. You know, if you want to bring in a player, now you're talking about going back to the well of, like, your first-round picks and all that stuff. But is this team is not playing like a team that you want to give up any draft picks for.
No, that's fair, but I would lean more towards doing that because Sweeney can't draft anyways. So
I think it's more...
But you are gonna have to send out salary because they're so tight to the cap in any trade.
So I think it would be more of the... So Trent Frederick's making $2.3 million. Brandon Carlo's making $4.1
million. Yes, see ya. I know they're thin on the back end right now, but see ya.
I think it would be those kind of guys. Morgan Geekie's a free agent, a restricted free agent after this year, but he's on the books for two. Coyle, I don't think you could get any takers on.
But a package of Frederick and Carlo, could that get you something? Maybe.
Maybe.
And now, but what are you getting back? Another bottom six type player and another top four type defenseman?
And Frederick, I feel like, is one of the few guys on the team that I don't really question his effort or intensity level.
I'm with you. I like Frederick, but okay, you got to give something to get something. And if you're trying to change the makeup, maybe that's a way to do it. Maybe.
Yeah.
So yeah, maybe you could get something for that. But they are tight to the cap. They'd have to send out salary, even if you're adding draft picks and what few prospects you have.
Dude, Zadorov making $5 million a year for the next 4 years
As much as people bitch about the Swayman contract, that one's so much worse, it's not even funny.
Way worse.
That's such a worse deal.
This is the old David Backes deal. Argued about that. I like Backes. That was just a hefty contract.
So, look, if they get to the trade deadline and they're still underachieving and they're out of the playoffs, maybe they sell off Marchand for a draft pick. I could see that. Maybe.
Yeah, not now.
In the meantime, they're trying to make it when Sweeney hints at changes.
Yep.
They're looking to add to make a playoff push because that's the mandate from Buffalo. 617-779-7937. More of your phone calls coming up. You can jump in on the Bees. We'll get back to the Celtics. We promised that earlier. We got a little sidetracked there with Don Sweeney. We'll get back to the Celtics next. Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. I'll give the Celtics credit. The threes.
Finally.
No, I know.
Thank God.
No, but I'll give them credit for something. I would just disagree with the final call there. They did shoot at a high percentage, but they did not shoot a ton of threes last night.
They averaged
51 a game. Yeah. They shot, I think, 41. I don't have it in front of me. I think they shot 41 last night.
Yeah,
41.
Right.
They were 22 of 41. Whew. So they shot 54%, but they were not full-on bombs away. It felt that way in the first half.
They took more twos, which a lot of nights you can't say that.
Correct.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, look, Tatum, 10 threes, but on 22 attempts. That's less than 50%, which honestly, that is rare for them.
And when he makes six of them, go ahead.
Even even Horford.
Keep shooting.
Horford is pretty much a three-point launcher these days.
I know, shockingly.
He took six twos to five threes.
Yep.
You know, Jaylen Brown, 7-17. You know, Derek White is going to bomb away. Drew Holiday, almost all his shots come from beyond the arc. Never mind Pritchard and Hauser and guys like that. But I actually thought they showed a bit of a commitment to go to the hoop last night. And even taking a step back from that, that was a good, strong win for the Celtics last night, because the Cavs wanted that game. It's an NBA Cup game. I know you don't care about that.
Neither do the players.
They didn't want their first loss, so even if you don't care about the NBA Cup.
Neither does Joe Mazzulla. Yeah. He was asked before the game, like, why do these count? He goes, who said that?
Yeah.
That was hilarious.
Well, they do count.
Mazzulla doesn't think so.
Well, they count. Of course they count.
Well, they count.
Why do they matter?
Oh, yeah, that's what the question was. That was the question. Why does the NBA Cup matter? He goes, who said that?
Jones.
Yeah, Jones talking about it. He won't shut up about it.
Yeah.
No, but yeah, this is a huge game for Cleveland, because they were also, like every team in the league, circling the Celtics when they play them, but more so for Cleveland, because they do have the best record in the NBA, but people are like, it's fake. Or at least, it's compared to the Celtics, it is. So what do you do head-to-head with the Celtics? Because then at that point, you know, it won't be settled until the playoffs, but if they went to 16-0 and had wins over the Celtics and the Warriors, you'd be like, Jesus.
Yeah, look out.
Maybe we got to take them a little bit more seriously. And I kind of do both, meaning I take the Cavs seriously to the point where I think they are the second best team in the Eastern Conference, but I don't take them seriously enough to think that that group is going to challenge the Celtics in a seven-game series.
Right.
It feels like if the Eastern Conference was really good, that'd be like a good second-round series, or maybe even a first-round series in like the glory days of the NBA, but that'd be like a good second-round. Not this might be the Eastern Conference Finals. Donovan Mitchell will go crazy for one game. They'll win game three in Cleveland, and then the Celtics will win in five.
So you just answered my question. We did this yesterday.
Yeah, yeah.
We said in a hypothetical seven-game series, Celtics and Cavs, we each gave them a game yesterday. Maybe it's a competitive five-game series, but it's a gentleman's sweep nonetheless. You just answered my question. You still are giving Cleveland a game in that
scenario? I'll give
them
a game. That's just my love for Spider Mitchell. That's all.
Yeah, I'm not sure. But if they were going to win
how about
a game,
this?
That's exactly how they do it. Mitchell
with
can,
Porzingis, sweep. Not, without Porzingis, they get a game.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
But, like, Mitchell isn't better than Tatum, but on any given night he can be, and he could win you a game in a series. But the rest of that team, Garland is trash.
No.
I legit, this is not tongue-in-cheek, this is not a joke. I would take Pritchard over Darius Garland. Garland is trash.
Really?
Yes.
I mean, last night I would.
Garland has no,
overall?
No, he doesn't understand.
Shoot or shoot, Jones.
Pritchard would never go 3-for-21. Because Pritchard.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
Didn't he go 1-for-11 in the opener?
Okay. Isn't that a huge difference?
Well, Pritchard, he didn't have the opportunity.
Pritchard wouldn't jack up 21 shots.
Yes, he would.
Not if he didn't have
it. If Pritchard started for like the Hornets, you don't think he would take 21 shots?
Yes. Not for a good playoff team.
And so if you just swapped him out and he was the starting guard with Mitchell, you don't think he would take 21 shots?
No, I think he'd say, I don't have it tonight.
Oh, Pritchard would.
I don't have it tonight. Here you go. Take over, Donovan. That's what I think he would do. Garland has no sense. None. Yeah. He's like, I don't have it. Let me keep shooting.
I might find it.
I can't dribble. Yeah. Let me keep dribbling to the hoop and losing it off my leg. Let me keep getting blocked by Al Horton. Zero sense to that guy's game.
Dude is a one-time All-Star.
I don't care. Right. Garland is trash. Mobley and Allen are decent, but they're not. Those are not difference makers
in
the series.
Do you know Garland is shooting from three this year?
I bet good.
43%.
Yeah, trash.
Nice player.
Don't care. Didn't get guarded. The Celtics guarded last night. So that's another thing I liked about the Celtics. I don't care that they gave up 117 last night. And I said this after the Warriors game. I feel consistent on this. They made the Cavs work for buckets.
Oh, for sure.
The Cavs shot well, I think, at the end of the day, right? Overall, their
field
goal percentage.
Almost 50%.
Thank you. So, their threes weren't great, but they shot well in the game.
No, Mobley was good, and then Mitchell got good.
Yeah, you'd look at it and say 50% and 117 points. Yeah.
Their bench was efficient.
The Celtics guarded last night.
Yeah.
You saw it early.
Yeah.
I was okay with their defense last night. I've been critical of it. But the Cavs have Mitchell and a bunch of good, not great players. That's why I can't take the Cavs seriously. As a real threat to the Celtics, they might be the biggest threat to the Celtics in the East, but they're not a threat.
You see Kenny Atkinson, the coach of the Cavs, at one point at the end of the game, he was like asking if he could challenge something.
Yeah.
He's like, I didn't even know. He's like, hey, challenge that.
It was 100% the right call.
Yeah.
I mean, right to challenge it. That was a brutal call.
But I don't even think he knew if he could.
No, he had to ask his bench. He's like, am I allowed to... Like, challenge
guys,
the ball.
What do you think of this?
Clearly went off of Tatum out of bounds. Like, am I allowed to challenge that? You should.
The opposing team just threw the ball out of bounds.
Yeah.
They gave it to them.
Well, that was better than the first challenge where Donovan Mitchell just yelled at him to challenge it, and he was like, all right.
Like, okay.
Yeah, fine.
He's like, you're going to keep my job, right?
Yeah.
And Donovan's like, no, I don't think so, Kenny. I don't think you're going to be long for this. But no, I think Cleveland is kind of what they are. I mean, we'll see what their record ends up being. I mean, 15-0 is a crazy start. But we've seen it in the NBA before. I mean, Al Horford's a good example. He was on a couple of Hawks teams that were the number one seed, but you're like, okay.
Right.
Wait till you play LeBron. You're going to lose to LeBron. And that's kind of what the Celtics are. The Celtics, I think, probably still should be the number one seed. Even if they're not.
The Celtics are LeBron.
Well, yeah. Like, there was a stretch where LeBron.
You can't love saying that.
I don't. But I mean it as there was a stretch of time there where you're like, LeBron's coming out of the East.
Yeah.
Celtics are now that.
It does not matter LeBron's seed. It doesn't matter if he has to go on the road in a game seven.
Doesn't matter.
Right. I can agree with that.
That's where they're kind of at. And so, like a lot of teams in NBA history, they're really competing against themselves and competing against complacency. They've only played 15 games. They're going to have head-scratching losses. Right? Like, you lose to the Hawks, you're going to be like, wait, what? Like, they're going to have you know, 2 weeks from now, they're probably going to lose some random game on a Wednesday that's not on Prime, that's not on like national TV. And you're gonna be like, what the hell was that? Just the way like the NBA goes. Well, like, I mean, they need to find different ways to sort of motivate themselves throughout the year.
I'll grant you this. You know, they had not been playing well. They just hadn't. Yeah. A loss against Atlanta, overtime against Toronto, overtime against Brooklyn. They lost against Golden State, which is more understandable. Like, they just hadn't been playing great. And Terp said this to me yesterday. He's like, well, they're not playing great. They've won 4 out of 6. Last night, if you are in the they can flip the switch crowd, where they just need to get up for a game, last night is an example of they flipped the switch. Early on, Cleveland could not score early on in that game. They weren't ready for the way the Celtics started the game. Now, Cleveland settled in. The Celtics started missing some threes. They made it a game late third quarter, early fourth quarter. But the Cavs weren't ready for how the Celtics were going to start. That was an example, if you want to point to it, that the Celtics can flip a switch.
The next couple of games will be interesting because they play nobody tomorrow. Friday, they play Washington. So they have their White House visit. Mm-hmm. Then they're going to play the Wizards, one of, if not the worst team in the NBA.
Yeah.
So, like, zero motivation to play the Wizards. That is a just show up and you should win the game. And then on Sunday, they play Minnesota. And I know Minnesota doesn't have a great record this year, but still, that's a team that, you know, everybody looks to, like, oh, look how good they did a year ago. And Anthony Edwards is like, he's the man and all this stuff. So, that's a game I do think they're going to be up for.
Yeah,
the Minnesota game.
Did you say this? They split with Minnesota last year, right? They both went to overtime and they split, I think.
Yeah, that sounds right.
In those games, or they both at least went down to the wire. And Minnesota, not great to start the year, 8-6.
But they also made a big trade right before the season, so you could see why they're still kind of figuring stuff out. Julius Randle's been, I think, fine, but, you know, that was still right before the year started that the trade happened.
They're 8-6. They're out of the playoffs. I'm sorry. They would be in the play-in game. They'd be the top seed in the play-in.
I was saying, in the East,
in the
Western like
Conference.
Three seed.
In the East, they would be, they'd be the fourth. They'd be one game behind the Magic for the three seed. 617-779-7937. Your thoughts on the Celtics last night? Who's the biggest threat in the East? Is there a threat in the East? We can get back to angry Jason Tatum as well. Plus, Joe Sacco, new head coach of the Boston Bruins, has met with the media. You can hear from him later on in the show.